Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31. Now, we're just dealing with an entire block of scripture. This is our third lesson in a little series that we're doing on the virtuous woman. And again, verses that we need to study are scattered throughout the text. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 to 31, includes six verses that deal with the virtuous woman and her children. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. And then verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Okay, now we've got several things here to look at in this particular text concerning a virtuous woman. And please understand, there are other things in the Bible that you can find in other places to add to these things, but we're studying a particular passage of Scripture here, and so what we'll do is we'll look at what a virtuous woman will do for her children, and then the reward she receives as a result of doing those things. You see, we live in a generation of children that are going further from the Lord, and you hear many reasons for it. I mean, you say, well, because it's of the government schools. Some say because of the teaching of evolution. Some say because we have weaker churches now than we did before. Some say it's the influence of music and movies in the lives of the children. And on the reasons go, and people can present good evidence for their findings. And there is an element of truth in these things. But at the same time, there are a number of children who are exposed to these things who have not lost their bearing with the Lord. I mean, they're still on track. And you have to ask yourself the question, well, how is that? If they're exposed to the same kind of teaching in a government school and evolution and find some things in weaker churches and hear this music, whether they like it or not, and so forth, how is it that these children do better than others that are in the same environment? How is it that they've not lost their bearing with the Lord? Well, I'll tell you, one of the good reasons why is that they have good mamas. That's right. Listen, not every family can successfully homeschool a child, but that's the standard recommendation for people that don't like government schools. Not everybody can afford to send their child to a Christian school if it's, you know, got a big tuition on it. There's no doubt that Christian education is going to be much better for them in some respects than an education in a government school in some respects. There's no doubt about it. As far as the Christian influence is concerned, it really is. At times, you're going to find that God is molding one of the children to become something in the line of a profession, a doctor, a lawyer, something like that. And if they don't have access in their high school years to the quality of education they're going to need in order to become one of those things for the Lord, then you're going to find that many times they're not going to be able to go through the homeschool or go through the Christian school. Now, I realize we're not even heading in that direction. I realize there are many cases where you see that happening. And if you're able to do that, I thank God for your ability to be able to do that. And I'm glad for your children to be able to do that. It doesn't always work out that way in every family. And I don't want the families who aren't able to do that to feel badly because they can't perform up to the level that you and your children can. But let me tell you something. the equalizer in every one of those situations. And the topic of our study today is the virtuous woman, the virtuous mother. You see, because then in situations where you've got other limitations, a good mother, a virtuous woman with her children can make up the slack. She can tip the scale in every circumstance because of what she does based upon what you read in this text. You see, this woman here, when we finish studying all about her, this is a working woman. I mean, she is a keeper of her own house, but she's not just sitting there mopping the floor, cooking food and washing dishes and changing baby's diapers. I mean, she's involved in buying fields and selling stuff that she's made. She's involved. And so she's very, very busy, very diligent, very much involved in a lot of things that are helping this household. Okay? And so when you consider that, she is doing certain things with the children that are going to bear her well and bear your children well from now on. First thing, verse 14, she is like the merchant ship, she bringeth her food from afar. The first thing she's involved in as a good mother is she's involved in good nutrition. And I'm not saying that that's the priority over everything else that we're going to study today. It just happens to be first in the list. She's involved in good nutrition. In Isaiah chapter 7, when you read a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to be called Emmanuel in verse 14, notice what verse 15 says in Isaiah chapter 7. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. All right. This child, prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 15, is going to know to refuse the evil and know to choose the good. And part of that is going to be based upon the fact that he has been fed a good diet of butter and honey. So what are you getting at? Well, what we're getting at is that a lot of times mothers don't take the time these days with their children to put a good nutritious meal down on the table in front of them. Everything comes out of a box prepackaged, thrown into a microwave, or pulled right out of the box and maybe heated, maybe not heated, and gobbled down. And listen, I realize that the body that we live in is limited, okay, in how long it's going to live. But I know from personal experience, and I know from seeing other situations, that when people are constantly just eating junk as fast as they can get it down to satisfy an appetite, they're not giving their body adequate fuel and adequate nutrition to be able to function at the best level. In Proverbs chapter 23, a passage that we studied not too long ago, in verse 3, when in the context of sitting down at somebody else's table, he says, "Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat." Now, I've told this to you before, and I don't want to dwell on it, but I happened on to better nutrition than I was getting before when I discovered that I was hypoglycemic, that is, low blood sugar. And the doctor that I went to see said simply the best way to maintain it, okay, the best way to maintain it, he said, is simply to shop on the outside aisles. All right, that's where the fresh produce is. That's where the fresh dairy is. That's where the fresh vegetables and fruits are. That's where the grains and nuts are. That's where the less refined breads can also be found, the ones that are not made with the highly refined carbohydrates, okay? The slower burning fuel, but not the quicker burning fuel. Stay on the outside aisles. You get in the inside and everything is enriched and loaded with preservatives and loaded with sodium and loaded with sugar or some sort of product that's like sugar, like corn syrup, and those kind of things. The stuff on the inside is easy. You rip it out of the package and gobble it down. The stuff on the outside, you got to wash, you got to steam, you got to prepare, you got to cut, you got to, you know, work on. There's chicken out on the outside aisles. There's meat out there on the outside aisles. You see, the thing is, you got to work at the stuff on the outside aisles, and you simply just pop it out of the box on the inside aisles. You know, throw a Pop-Tart in the oven and gobble it down on the way out the door, swallowing down some highly sugared up juice while the kid gets in the car to run off. Well, it's no wonder they're half nuts. Now, I'm not going to make an overly big deal out of that, but let me just tell you, there was a family that raised their children, and the children never had candy. And one time an aunt came and gave them a sack of Jawbreakers, and the kids were all delighted. And the parents went back there thinking, oh, my goodness, I hope they don't taste those things. And they went back there, and the children were playing marbles with the jawbreakers because they did not know they were candy, and they never had candy before. That stuff may be tasty, but it's not good for you. This woman will go to whatever extreme she has to go to in order to get good food. She bringeth her food from afar. This is the junk food society. This is the fast food society in which we live. You got to be careful with that. Don't go overboard. Don't get out of balance. But just remember, a virtuous woman with her children will make sure that their bone structure and their brain structure and their muscle structure and their organ structure are going to be better prepared for a longer life by taking more time to feed them well. She provides the best for her children. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night. You know what that means? That's getting up before daylight. And giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She makes sure, if she has to get up earlier than daylight, she makes sure to be able to put something good on the table for the children to eat. She provides the best for her children that she can. And speaking of nutrition, because that's what she's doing here, is bringing food from far and giving meat to her household. You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Mother, as a virtuous woman, it is incumbent upon you to make sure that your children are nourished up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I realize that responsibility also falls to dad, but not solely. Not solely. If you read the life of Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, you find out that the faith that he had came from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Yeah. The ones responsible for making sure that Timothy was fed the scripture from a child, 2 Timothy 3:15 said, so that he could be saved, fell to his mother and his grandmother. And a virtuous woman will make sure that her children are nourished up not only with good nutrition food, but also nourished up with the words of God. She will not depend upon church and Sunday school as the only source of Bible training that her children are going to get. She'll keep them in the book. You say, wow, that's a lot of stuff. Yeah, a lot of women are not doing that today. And, you know, the children feel neglected. And they're, you know, many times hyperactive and a lot of other things because they're just not well fed and well balanced with the Word of God and with nutritious food. All right, verse 21. The Bible says she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. So she's going to be sure not only that they have good nutrition, but that they have good clothing. Now, in this case, we're down here in South Texas. We're not as exposed to snow. We're not exposed to snow like they are north of here, but she's going to keep them warm in the winter because she loves them, but also she is concerned that they have enough clothing. In other words, you can draw from this that she is not afraid because she knows that her children are clothed well enough. Not only can we infer that from the text, but we can further infer that in light of the way children dress today, she is going to be concerned for their modesty. Really, a lot of times girls today and boys today dress too skimpily or dress in conformity to the world. And then there's a reason to worry. I mean, this thing that went around, I don't know if it's still popular today, but this thing that went around that was that gothic, you know, where everybody dressed in black, the nails were black, the hair was black, the dress was black, the shirt was black, the socks were black, the shoes were black, chains and all this stuff, you know, jacked into there. But there's nothing godly about that. And so if this woman here in verse 21 is not going to worry about her children because they're dressed warmly, then she's not going to worry about them either whenever they're affected by other considerations governing their clothing. Literally, these days, people are not very modest with their clothing. And she is going to concern herself with the modesty of her children, her sons and her daughters. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. She's going to be concerned about that. I mean, when I say concerned about that, she's concerned that her children are dressed appropriately and that they learn how to dress appropriately for the various occasions. They've got to be covered. They've got to be covered. And I'll tell you what, the great failure these days when children are allowed to dress and all this other stuff is with mama. Listen, particularly as it concerns the girls, you're the one that takes them shopping, and you're the one that has to make sure they've got clothes on. Girls growing up and learning to dress properly ought to recognize that in certain clothing they are going to attract the attention of the opposite sex. Now, a lot of times that's exactly what a girl wants to do, but as one of the Sunday school teachers said one day to the class, she said to them, she said, girls, you got to remember, not only is the 18-year-old boy going to look, but so is the 80-year-old man. And then all the girls went, ew! But it's true. Lecherous. There's no reason to tempt the eyesight of the opposite sex by the way you dress when it is immodest to do so. I mean, so just you know that your body has a certain shape, and that shape ought to be covered in such a way as not to attract attention to those parts that would normally attract the attention of the eyes of the opposite sex. And a good mother, a virtuous woman, is going to see to it that her children are properly clothed. Not only that, but speaking of scarlet clothing, because that's what it says here, her household are clothed with scarlet, that reminds me of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about that passage in Revelation chapter 5 where they washed their robes in the blood of Jesus and made them white in the blood of Jesus, clothed in the blood of Jesus, the scarlet thread that was hung out the window by Rahab when the armies of Israel came to attack the walls of Jericho. I'm reminded about those things. Listen, Mom, it is absolutely and vitally necessary that you take your little children from a very early age and begin to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ and about salvation. Not only the words of God, but their personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and that he shed his blood for their sins that they might be saved. And clothe them in the scarlet blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, so that they can live as holy children. I had a great privilege the other day to have supper with the family, and we were talking about their upbringing in church, and both of them were able to say, we thank God that we did not go the way of so many people. They weren't saying this braggadociously. They really were thanking God, and they were thanking their parents that they were raised in church. They don't have the disaster to look over their life. They don't have to look back over a disaster of sin because they got early with the Lord and stayed with the Lord, and they have their mama to thank for that. Got them in a good church. See, clothed, got them in a good church, got them to understand these things about their outward appearance enough to understand modesty. If you're immodest, then people think you're immoral. If you're modest, then people are going to think you're moral. They'll leave you alone. I can't say enough about it, but we need to move on. A virtuous woman is concerned for good nutrition and good clothing. And then look at this in verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So, good nutrition, good clothing, good instruction. She openeth her mouth with wisdom. That's the instruction of the mother. She leads her family by good word, but she also leads her family by example, so that what she says, she also does. As I told you before, not too long ago, a fellow that I know that's now in the ministry mourned the fact that when he was younger, he didn't get off to a good start. His own mother taught him how to drink and gamble. See? Now notice a couple of things here. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, notice that mom, you do have a very strong role in instructing your children. The Bible says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. As we said the other day, mom oftentimes lays down the law. Then look in Proverbs chapter 19 at verse 27. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27. The Bible says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Like a fellow said, it's okay to get an education, just don't let the education get you. In other words, if the instruction you're getting causes you to err from the words of knowledge, then you're going to have to change your method of education. And as we've said before, it's a good idea, literally, for children to be in a Christian school or be in homeschool because they're never going to be exposed to that kind of instruction that will cause them to err from the words that are in this book. But oftentimes what happens is that you're not in a position where you can do that. And if you aren't and they have to be taught in a school, then what she will do, what a good mother will do, she will keep them away from the things that cause them to err. A good mother, a virtuous woman, will watch out for a good mother and a good woman will watch out for the friends that her children hang around. And if she sees that they're hanging around bad friends with bad influences, doing bad things, she will separate them from those friends so that they cannot spend that kind of time together. I mean, really, she'll just put her foot down and say, what he's teaching you to do or what she's teaching you to do is causing you to err from the words of knowledge, so I'm going to put my foot down. You are going to have to break off that friendship with that person. And I'm telling you what, for children, that is a very, very difficult blow, but for mama, that's one of the best ways in the world to keep them from erring. Okay, you got movies. Movies. All right, with movies, you'll get some bad instruction. And so mama will say, no, that's just not the right kind of movie for you to watch, and she'll screen it out. If you have television, and I'm not suggesting that's something you ought to have, but some of you do, and you've got access to things like History Channel and Discovery Channel, you're going to get some words there that are going to cause them to err from the words of knowledge. There are going to be some revised history on the History Channel. There's going to be a lot of evolution taught on the Discovery Channel. And so your children are going to have to be trained well enough to recognize that stuff and get away from it. I was laughing the other day talking to a woman, and she was telling me about her daughters and how they like to watch the Discovery Channel and how quickly, even at a young age, they recognize that as soon as the evolutionist is on there and says this thing happened millions and millions and millions of years ago, the little girl turns around to her mother and smiles and said, he's lying. Because she has been trained in the Bible to recognize the wrong kind of instruction and to turn from that instruction without believing the basis for the thing that was being said. It's not millions and millions and millions of years old. So that's a great thing. That mother has taken the time to instruct her children properly. In education, she'll straighten out the errors. I remember one time a young man stood up in class when the teacher started talking about something that wasn't right, and he straightened out the teacher over something concerning evolution because he had been trained well at home by his mother. So a mother may decide that homeschooling is the best thing, particularly if she can provide both the Christian education and the quality education. She may decide that her family would be better off in a better church where they're not exposed to bad preaching from a man that doesn't believe the Bible, who is causing her children to err from the words of knowledge because he doesn't even believe what he's preaching. She'll check the books out and make sure they stay away from the wrong books. She'll check the internet out to make sure they stay away from the wrong internet sites. A good instructing mother, so she's going to be concerned as a virtuous woman for good nutrition, good clothing, good instruction, and then this in verse 27, good supervision. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She diligently oversees what her children are involved in and gets in the middle of it if it's wrong and leads in it if it's right and keeps away from bad influences of alcohol and sex and drugs. One day we had the opportunity to help one of our girls here. There was a situation, a false accusation is what it amounted to, arising at her school, and how blessed we were to see the involvement of the parents and the absolute clean, perfect record of the student when examined by those who had made the false accusation. It was that was an absolute delight. Absolute delight. And you know what it was a testimony to? It was a testimony to good grandparenting and good parenting, where the influences of the mother and the grandmother were so strong in the girl's life that it was important to her to maintain a good and clean testimony. You know what that came from? Good supervision, good involvement of mom and dad in her life, so that they were on top of everything that she was involved in, not smothering her, but in such a way that they were absolutely giving her the kind of good supervision that a young Christian girl ought to receive today from a very loving, virtuous mother. Listen, in verse 27, the Bible says she eateth not the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. In other words, she would skip a meal if it meant having to do something with her child in order to give her child good supervision. She's not so worried about her own belly and her own needs and her own necessities and her own sleep and her own rest that she's not willing to sacrifice those things, if that's what it takes on a particular occasion, just to be on top of whatever influences are guiding and directing her children outside of the house. You can't be lazy and raise children today. You've got to be vigilant. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, and he may very well want to devour your children. And so you cannot, as a virtuous woman, just leave that to incidents and accidents. You've got to be on top of it. A virtuous woman with her children is concerned for good nutrition, good clothing, good instruction, good supervision. And if she does all of those things, while it may be very, very difficult during the training years of her children, and she may catch some grief and give some grief during those times, notice what happens for her reward in verse 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her children rise up and call her blessed. For this she is blessed by her children, not necessarily during the early teen years, not necessarily during the latter teen years, but later. Thank you, Mom, for keeping me straight when I wanted to veer off of the path. Rewarded well with a clean child. Rewarded well with a child she could safely give to a husband, future son-in-law, knowing that this child had preserved herself for the future son-in-law of the family. Please remember, sometimes you do all you can and the children still go south. At least if you've done all that you can, that's all you can do. But if you haven't done all that you can do, then you need to get with the program of the virtuous woman and look after your children. Don't have them if you're not willing to pay this kind of price that this woman pays in order to take care of her children. But if you want to have them and enjoy the love and the blessing of them and don't want to have as many heartaches, then do these things. Good nutrition, good clothing, good instruction, good supervision. And weather through those storms of rebellion until you get to see the product of a child who comes home with a beautiful smile on his face or her face, gives Mama a big hug, and can be truly thankful that you took the time as a virtuous woman to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God bless you as you do. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.